All right, we're ready.
All right, Jason King and Ashley Hodge here for the Sikkim 365 podcast for the Field of 68 Network. Excited today to be joined by Ish Wainwright. Ish, a longtime Baylor favorite, a fan favorite, you know, a high-level player that really, really played a huge role in Baylor reaching the heights it's at now. And Ish had some great years and some great memories from his career, too, a lot of success. But, Ish, thanks for being on with us. So, first of all, kind of just bring Baylor fans up to date with where you are. I know you're overseas right now. Update us on your career, because I know things are going well for you.
Man, everything is going good right now. Right now, I am going in – this is my third year. I'm in France playing with SIG Strasbourg in the GB League, LNB League, and also playing Champions League. It's a tough schedule in basketball Champions League, but we are 1-3. We just came off of a huge win last night against Ica Athens. And I'm having fun, man. It's my third year. Yeah, I have goals to reach the NBA, reach the next level, and it's possible here in the next, you know, year or two. So, I mean, I'm just living my life, you know.
Right. Well, I remember, you know, when your basketball career ended, you did a year with the football team. And what was that like in terms of what was your thought process during that kind of year where you like, football is my future? Or then did you miss basketball? Kind of take me through that post-year after, you know, after Baylor basketball was finished.
So a lot of people didn't know at that time I had had my daughter. My world. I was going through a little phase where I needed to support my daughter. And so, I mean, if somebody comes to you and said, "Hey, I think you should play football. You should try football. You'll be a really good tight end in the NFL, or if not practice squad." But then, you know, me as you know, I have to provide. I have to find something. I was impatient. With the basketball side, I didn't hear anything. You know, you hear all the rumors like, oh, he's not going to get drafted. He's not this good. So I kind of fell into that. I said, okay, well, I'm going to take a step away from basketball. And I trusted Coach Rule in the process. You know, did all that. I sucked, but it was okay. That's how I felt. Like, man, I was terrible. But I ended up getting a call from the Bills. And, you know, I went out and did the mini camp. Learned a lot from all the guys, all the rookies that was drafted, Shumbert and Allen. Learning from them, getting to talk to them and having, you know, conversations with them. You know, just it wasn't – after that, it wasn't meant to be. And I'm not going to lie. Like, this was the time frame. I went there for a weekend and got back Sunday night around 11. And I kid you not, I woke up the next morning at – about 8:45, 8:50, and I was in the basketball gym by 9:30. My mind, I'm so serious. I am so serious. My mind was like, yeah, I can't do this football stuff. I can't do it. I was in the gym the next day, and it just kept flowing. I mean, I still had the passion. I still had the love. And I got a call. I got a call within a month, and a team was like, hey, we want to bring you to Germany. Can you play? I said, send the contract and I'll sign it.
Yeah.
And things just went from there. I mean, it was a lot of people was like, hey, we don't know if he's going to be able to, you know, we don't know if he's going to be the Ish from Baylor. But I took it as the Ish from Baylor was the Ish at Baylor. I mean, I had different roles at Baylor, you know, and it kind of carried over and it carried on. And now I'm year three. And I haven't looked back, to be honest. I have not looked back. I still keep in contact with all the guys. You know, RP to Chance. I talk to all of the guys. So I'm having fun. You know, I had fun playing football, but the basketball side, I love it. I still love it. You all can see I'm having a lot of fun.
Still. Awesome.
No?
Ish, you always were – like Tweety Carter, you just had that energetic smile, charisma about you. And I think you just draw people to you. I want to ask you about this current team. I know Mark is the only guy on the team that you actually played with, right?
Yeah, my guy. Yes. Okay. Yes, he was there. He was a red shirt. But I was kind of sad when he red shirted my last year. He was my senior year. He was a freshman.
Right.
I was kind of bad. Him and Tyson Jolly racial, but I mean, they're both doing good right now.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, did you get to know these other guys in the recruiting process? I know you were like one of the best recruiters for Baylor, you know, to bring other guys on, you know, the younger guys. Like, did you get to meet Jared Butler? Did you meet Davion Mitchell when they went on visits and things like that?
I met those guys. Little do people know, when I was playing football at Baylor, I was still going to practice.
Right.
Like, if we didn't have anything going on, I would go practice, go watch practice, interact with the guys, talk to the guys. And then when I got done with football, I was driving through and I told Coach, hey, can I come back down here to get back into basketball shape? So I went back to Baylor and I worked out with the guys, Jared, Maceo, Matthew Meyer, Mark, Thamba, everybody. I worked out with the whole team, Obim, you know, all the guys. I worked out with them. I played. I was on the practice squad. It was fun. I mean, I got back in basketball shape. I got to know Jared, Maceo. They're great guys. And I told them, I had a meeting with them. And I kid you not, I had a meeting. I talked to the team without the coaches. I said, if you guys take this serious and lock in, you guys will be the first team in Coach Drew's era to make it to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Last year, they wouldn't have stopped the season. They would have made it to the Final Four.
Right.
This year, they're going to make it to the Final Four. And they are they're my winners. So I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I had to win the championship, but it's they have to keep going. I mean, I told them, I met all of the guys, I had conversations with them. They asked me questions, personal questions. And they're like my little bros. I talk to them now. It's just, you know, say what's up to them. I send them videos. So it's like, okay. I know the guys. Yeah, I gave Matt a hard time.
Two questions I want to ask you. One is the Wisconsin avenging that loss. I know you are happy about that. I saw your tweet. And then winning the first Big 12 championship. I mean, how did that make you feel? Because you were so instrumental in setting the table for that.
Oh, my gosh. Seeing them do that, I'm not going to lie. Seeing them win the Big 12 conference, I dropped a tear. I had to wipe it fast because, I mean, all the hard work, the blood, sweat, and tears that the guys before me, the Curtis Geralds and the Tweety Carters and the Lace Darius, they don't have one of those, you know? So it's like that was for everyone. And winning that, like that, that's only the beginning. I made a comment yesterday. I made a comment 2 days ago to Mike Smith. I said, hey, this Baylor's a powerhouse, but after this year, Baylor is going to be the powerhouse. Baylor is going to be up there. It's, you know, I'm putting Baylor up there with the Kentuckys and the Dukes now because look at what Coach Drew has done.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought it was interesting. You said you wanted to meet with those guys, you know, no coaches in the room. Just why did you feel the need to do that? And what about this group of guys as you were practicing with them? You know, what hit you were like, man, these guys are special.
The way that they reminded me my senior year with the Motley, the Noonies, the TJ Masson, the Alfred. They reminded me my year. They reminded me of the chemistry that we had and the chemistry that they had at that time that I was there. It just reminded me of that group, I mean, that year. And you know how guys, it's always like that. If the coaches are around, they kind of hold back. That's everywhere, though. That's in professional meetings. If your boss is right next to you, you're not going to say certain things.
Right. Yeah.
And so having the coaches, you know, out the room, and you know, I'm telling the guys, hey, I'm your brother. I've been in your seat. I, you know, fought next to the guys. You know, I told Mark. Mark knows who I am. And I mean, we were just talking, had an hour conversation, just heart to heart. You know, I told them, I said, if y'all take, it's gonna be days where you're gonna hate Coach Tame. It's gonna be days where you're gonna look at Coach Drew and be like, dude, stop talking. It's going to be days like you're just going to be like, I'm not feeling. But if you get through those days, it's so much stuff that they can accomplish. I mean, they won the Big 12.
Yeah.
They made the Sweet 16. They just smacked Wisconsin. They about to make it to the Elite Eight. You know, it's they're going to keep climbing, and I'm proud of them.
Right, right. You know, I had a really good talk about a year ago with Mark Vidal. he told me, he was kind of describing himself when he first got to Baylor, like that year he redshirted, you know, he was just having some trouble, not just basketball-wise, but just socially. He said he had a guard up and, you know, his whole life he didn't trust people, hadn't been around white people a lot, he told me, and it was just very – you know what I'm saying? Not really fit in. And he said you were very key in helping him realize, Mark, you know, everyone here loves you. You know, we're a family here. You know, I mean, what do you remember about Milo? Because to me, it's just been really neat seeing him grow as a person. I think he's really gone through a lot of changes in the last 4 or 5 years.
Right, and it is true because he's expressed that to me. And I'm not going to lie, at one point in time, I felt the same way because coming from Kansas City, you know, you're not around certain, you know, you're not around things. But then I ended up, I left. I seen the other side. I seen, you know, I opened up my eyes and I seen the world. And so coming to college, I remember him coming on a recruiting trip and he was like, I've never been around this many people in my life. Like, I don't talk to people. I said, well, you might have to change that because you're about to come to Baylor and it's a lot of people. You know, you got the interviews and this and that. He's like, you know, you have to kind of bring it all in. I mean, yeah, you can hold up that guard, but at some point of time in your life, you might have to let that guard down just a little bit because that guard can stop you from meeting friends, meeting people. You might, you know, just certain things. So,
yeah,
he's a great kid. He's always been a great kid. It's just his background, you know? Everybody comes from all over the world, all over the country. You know,
right.
Sometimes you got to just relax, just get to know people, you know?
Well, how have you seen him change, you know, just in keeping up with him? I mean, whether it's his approach to basketball, whether it's his personality, I mean, it's probably been pretty cool for you to watch his transformation, I guess.
Basketball, I'm gonna start with basketball. Basketball has been amazing because just seeing the things that he does on the court, the energy, he's always been energized, but he's taken it to another level as far as energy.
Right. Because,
you know, stuff like that. I wish I could watch practice. I used to watch practice online, you know, film. They used to send Coach Jacobs used to send me practice and stuff like that. But I mean, I wish I could see it every day. But that energy is just on a different level. Him and Jonathan. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So now on the personal, I see that he's interacting with a lot more people. I mean, interviews and like, you know, his Instagrams and things that he's doing for his community when he collects all the shoes and gives them back to the community. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, you know? So
yeah, he's really showing a personal side now. That's pretty cool. Did he ever just talk on someone in practice, like where everyone was like, oh my God, you know, because I know he could.
That's bound to happen. That's bound to happen. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. And it will shut down practice, but I mean, I wish if it was like, if Mark dunked on anybody in practice, if Mark dunked on somebody in practice, we'll shut practice down. If that was a rule, we wouldn't really have practice. Because he would just go in and try to dunk on anybody, and he will.
Ish, I want to ask you about, you mentioned Tang, you know, saying there's going to be days where you hate Tang. Was he kind of the disciplinarian or the guy that really got in your faces defensively? And I want to hear some comments because obviously Paul Mills and Grant McCaslin had a lot of success in this tournament. Paul Mills obviously has Oral Roberts in the Sweet 16, which is unbelievable.
Grant, I got them in my bracket.
What do you remember about them and what stories do you have about those guys?
So this is how I knew Coach Tang was crazy. I walked into a gym in Las Vegas, Tarkanian Gym. We were getting ready to play someone. I forgot the team. And I walk in the gym and I see somebody in a green shirt in the top of the stands. Gym is filled. See somebody stand up and do this, has a big BU, and he's like this. I'm like, man, this dude is crazy. He was doing it the whole time I walked. I said, this dude, what's this dude up there? But then I realized that, you know, later on, I was like, that's Coach Tang. And he kept that same energy. So in practice, I'm my freshman year of practice. he called me soft so many times. Yeah. It's the Corey Jeffersons, the Brady Heslips, the Isaiahs, the Corey, you know, the Garys, the TP, the Rico, when he just was, you know, crazy. So, I mean, he, Coach Tang is the guy that is going to get your, he's going to figure out one thing. He called me a kid from Kansas. I'm not from Kansas. So he knows how to pick at that and will get you going. So, I mean, he's always been in that way. Coach Mack, Mack Attack, man, he was the exact. They had him and Coach Mack had the same thing. They would find that one little thing that would irritate you, but it's a good irritation. Acting like you're from Kansas. You're from Kansas City, Kansas. You're not from Missouri. You're not from Kansas City, Missouri. And that will get my juices flowing. Like, hold on now. Coach Mills was like the silent one. He'll put you to the sign, but hey, you know what? You're just being soft. But I'm, he was like, you're just being soft. But I'm just, I'm kind of saying it in a nice way. But you're just playing soft. That's just how Coach Mills was. And I'll be like, man, that's really crazy. Let me go out here and prove. So, I mean, everybody has their different ways, but those guys, you know, Coach Drew really didn't say much. But you just had that; those guys right there played a huge part. And also Coach New. Coach New, he was also the guy that would pull me to the side and let me have it. It wasn't no holding back with Coach New. So, I mean, you know, that whole coaching staff, and I'm proud of them. I still talk to them. I'm proud of every last one of them. I have them in my bracket playing against each other. So, Coach Drew, once we take care of Villanova, I have us playing against Oral Roberts.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry, I had Baylor winning against Oral Roberts going on.
All right.
No, I'm proud of those guys, and they know that because look at where they're at. You know, they're doing big things.
So. When you say you know they called you soft, Baylor had a reputation for a while. I don't think when you played there because of you and Rico and you know it's changed certainly. And now no one calls Baylor soft anymore. But there was a reputation that we had. You know, what would you call soft length? You know, we were played zone. We weren't that physical. But you know, starting with your team, I think you know you just really. I remember a game against A&M. Where I think it was like they had one offensive rebound and you had like 19 offensive rebounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you beat them by double digits. I mean, I think, you know, you just out-rebounded teams, you out-tough teams. I mean, you were really kind of playing the Mark Vidal role on those teams that you were on. I mean, what do you think? Is that something that you guys talked about, you know, really transforming Baylor to this physical, you know, tough team? I mean, was that really – you know, what was inbred in you when you were at Baylor?
When I was there, I'm going to speak on the time that I was there. Rico kind of set the tone my first 2 years. First 2 years I was there, Rico set the tone because I was going against Rico every day.
Right.
So I wanted to make our team, yeah, we were fast, we were good, we had, you know, length and stuff, but I wanted to have all that plus being dominant on the boards, on defense, being a physical team. So Rico changed the way we practiced. We had a drill where it was like it was a box out drill. We had to take out Rico. And that just carried over. So it was a point of time where, you know, my junior year, King McClure tried to take my head off a couple times in practice because he was so used to that mindset. I'm going to go get this rebound. We have to be the most physical team. Ish is down there. He's going to grab this offensive rebound. Let me take his head off so he knows that I'm coming. So that carried over to the games. So then now – you have a fast team, you have a physical team, and you have a smart team at that too. So now it's all coming together. And that was my mindset. Yeah, I want to be the most physical defender on the court because I want the referees to adapt to us. So now the referees are adapting to Baylor. Mm-hmm. So now teams, when they come into Baylor, when they step on the court with Baylor, it's like, man, it's no more, oh, we're going up against this zone, we're going up. Now it's like, man, we have to match their physicality. We have to match Mark Vidal's physicality. We have to play our game. If not, we're going to get ran off the court.
Right.
Ran off the gym.
Yeah. What's crazy is when I watched Baylor defend, too, it's just amazing that they play that way the whole game. I mean, like, I would just, it's not just a couple possessions where they come out of the huddle all riled up. It's like start to finish, Davion Mitchell is on you. I mean, like, it seems like it would be exhausting.
Man, yeah. Him and Mark, I'm going to be heartbroken. I just wish that they could just say, Davion and Mark, defensive player of the year, here you go, share it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't like that. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it that they're, you know, they're the finalists. But,
man, yeah.
Defensive player of the year, like, if it could be two awards, like, Baylor would have that. You know, Mark would have that. So, I love their energy. I love it.
Yeah, and now it's rubbed off on everyone else too, which is really cool. You know, when you were there, I felt like a lot of people would always refer to you as the guy that kind of held everything together. I mean, if there was a problem in the locker room, you were squashing it or whatever. Who do you see on this team kind of filling that role? When you talk to other guys, what do you hear about that?
To be honest, I kind of see it in multiple guys. Maceo, you know, if Maceo can go 0-7, and he'll still be like, all right, let's go.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, guys, bring it in. Davion, he'll get in the zone where it's like, okay, I got to get this steal. I think it's a little bit of everyone now. I think it's rubbed. Mark has rubbed me. Royce rubbed off on me. I rubbed off on Mark. Mark has rubbed off on the whole team. Right. So I think it's not just one person. I think it's the whole team is taking that role. Mark is the main guy when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole team has taken a little piece of that. So,
you know, when you signed with Baylor, you were pretty high profile recruit, had a lot of big offers. But, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, you hear the story all the time. They've got a chip on their shoulder, whether it's Maceo not getting a lot of high profile offers or Adam Flagler or JTT. Jared was overlooked in a lot of ways. And I know I'm missing someone, but Davion, you know, a little bit higher of a recruit. But anyway, I mean, how do you see that, like, in practice? Or does that come up in discussions about, like, the whole overlooked chip on the shoulder thing? Does that ever get – when you're around those guys?
I think those guys, Adam Flagler, who was averaging, 30 points a game in college.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you got Mark Vidal, one of the top dunkers in the country. You got Maceo Teague, who was averaging 25 in college. Those guys are going to forever have a chip on their shoulder. Caleb?
Yeah, we're still I'm still here.
Okay. Jason. Those guys are going – I feel like going into Baylor, like anybody that goes to Baylor will always have a chip on the shoulder because me, I'm so used to hearing people say, oh, Baylor's soft. Like you said, Baylor's soft. Baylor. Coach Drew can't coach. Coach Tang can't coach. Coach Mills, you know, his whole coaching staff. I want to prove that we got the best coach in the country. We got the best coaching staff in the country. We have the best gym. We have the best fans. We have the best jerseys, the best shoes, the best game on the court. You know, so with those guys coming in from their high school, yes, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. I had a chip on my shoulder. And, I mean, I had my 2 years where – my first 2 years where, you know, it was up and down. But my junior year, my senior year, even to this day – I still have a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And those guys, I'm pretty sure they still have a chip on their shoulder. They want to be the first team to make it to the Final Four in Baylor and, you know, in Coach Drew's era.
Right.
They're the first
modern Baylor history.
Baylor history. They're going to be the first team to do a lot of things that I've never done before.
Yeah.
I mean, so for them to have, I think that they will continue to have that chip on their shoulder. Even Matt, after he got one more year, Matt has one more year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder next year because he's a senior.
Yep.
And because I'm going to cuss him out because he's still wearing 24.
You told me, you said earlier you were hard on him at one point. I think that's what you said. What's your take on Matt? I mean, he's such a character. I mean, you got any good Matt Meyer stories?
Yes, I do. When he came on a visit, I remember this day. He came on a visit. He had his, you know, hair all dangling. He always, you know, I'm like, who is this dude? Who's this dude, man? And so we start playing pickup, and his first time touching the ball, he shot a fadeaway three. He was on my team.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is
dude, pass the ball.
But it happened over and over and over again. So at this point, I didn't like Matt. He knew I didn't like him. I didn't know who he was. Nobody told me. It was like, yeah, issues. Coach New came, hey, we're going to put him on your team. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll give him the ball and see what he can do. But he shot a fadeaway three. Al Freeman came down and went by him with an and-one layup. I'm like, man, oh, my gosh. But then, you know, he left. You know, I was okay. But then he had committed. And then I think I had left. And I came to practice, and he was wearing 24.
Your number.
I looked. Everybody looked at me. I looked at him. I said, Coach Tang, come here, Coach. He going to have to change that number. I said, because the same energy that Lace Darius gave me when I was wearing 24 is the same energy I'm going to give him because he's wearing 24. Because me wearing 24, I was surprised that Lace Darius even let me wear
24. Yeah, yeah.
I still remember the tweets. Who is this number 24 out there? Why is he wearing 24? That was the same mindset I had with Matt. And so I gave him so much, you know, so much when I was there. And I mean, he hits me up. Hey, how's everything going? Hey, what's going on? What should I do with this? And I built that. I mean, yeah, he's. I've never seen somebody shoot so many shots. When you first check in the game, he's like a.
Yeah.
Once he check in, he's. And I love it. Now I love it. At first, I was like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But no, shooters keep shooting. You know, he's shooting 40%. You can't get wrong. You can't go wrong with that. But, and I love it. I mean, he's energetic. He's still learning, but I mean, I'm going to still give him some stuff because he's still wearing 24.
Yeah.
There was a move during the Wisconsin game where they run the weave. You know, they like to run the weave for like a couple touches. They let everybody touch it, you know, before they run their own. Uh-huh. And I remember, you know, Davion, I think, handed it off to Matt. And Matt would normally hand it off to Maceo. And so he starts going that direction. And then he reverses and then hits a layup. I was like, incredible move. But it was so out of character for what the offense normally does, right? And speaking of that, I gotta. Well, no, you weren't there, but there was a funny moment in Destin, Florida. I was sitting right behind the bench, and it was an interaction between Makai Mason and Matt. And I'm sure you've had some of these situations too. But Matt, he was a freshman, and you know, as a freshman, he was like, you know, every time he was clapping like crazy. You know, I want the ball. I want the ball. And so during the timeout, Matt, you know, Makai had just iced him out and taken his own shot. And Matt, like, started yelling at Makai. He's like, Makai, I was open. And Makai says, you're always blankety-blank open. Run the offense.
Good for Makai. That's
I've had some moments like that.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear from the coaching staff after they won the Big 12 title? I heard that they were contacting different players and stuff just to kind of share in the moment.
After every game, I talked to Coach Drew. I talked to Coach New after every game, AD after every game. Every win, it's late over here when they play sometimes. So,
right.
Yeah.
You know, I make sure I stay up sometime and – I know I'll be tired in the morning, but, you know, I kind of like – I make sure I watch the game. So Coach Drew texts me after the game, after every game. Sends me highlights and he texts and he posters, the tweets, everything. And after they won the Big 12, I mean, Coach Drew sent a message out – excuse me – to the guys and said, hey, this was not just for us. This is for you all, you know. So that means a lot. And they even texted my mom. I'm like, you know, that means a lot. For a high major Division I coach and the high major Division I assistant coach to text my mom after a big time win.
Yeah, big time.
Like, that's amazing. You know, and that's just who they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's their personal number, texting my mom, texting me. It's like, man, congratulations. That was the mailman. That was the ish. You know, so that's a personal message. You know, so
yeah.
I love them to death. I love that they do that, and that's the culture there. It's a family. It's one big family.
Yeah, and I'm sure they saved a piece, but I think they were trying to save back pieces of the net for a lot of the former players. Maybe since you're overseas, you haven't gotten it yet, or they might have sent it to Kansas City, Missouri. Yeah. But hopefully they got you a piece too. So
yeah, I'm praying.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. I'm so proud of them guys, man. And I wish I was there to watch them cut the nets down. Cuts the nets down this Final Four too. So,
yeah. Exactly.
So, when they're in these tournament games, what are you doing as far as watching it? Are you watching? Do you just watch it in solitude at your place, or do you go nuts as it's happening? I mean,
well, the last game they played against Wisconsin, I was actually on the road, and my teammates knew that I was excited for the game, and I was watching on the road. And just excited. I mean, I was actually getting treatment while I was watching the game. So they know. Yeah. You know, my coach is out here. They know. They asked me who's going to win this, who's going to win this. And I'm watching the games. I don't care how late it is. This next game, I'm watching Villanova. Oh, I'm talking to everyone. Josh Hart, everyone. Everyone. Yeah.
I mean, is the games occurring? Are you texting with? I mean, you said you had a game the other night, but like, if you were at home watching it, would you be texting with former teammates? Like, who are you keeping up with? You know, through all the
right now, I'm keeping up with. You know, I talk to TP, I talk to Isaiah, I talk to Nudie. Joe was on a totally different time frame. I think it's like morning time over there. Some things in Australia, and Mott's in China. So I speak to him every now and then. Al's in China, I believe, too. So, I mean, I speak to the guys that, like, I try not to bother them if they're, you know, nighttime, morning time is different.
Yeah.
I've been talking to Royce, TP, and Nooney a lot, you know, and Isaiah. Those guys I talk to a lot. Just it's random, too, you know. So, those guys, I know they're excited, too. I know they're watching and supporting.
Wow. How about our guy Rico Gathers? What's he? Is he rapping? Is he going to make up a song about all this?
That's the thing. He's one dude I cannot get a hold of. But no, yeah. I think he is rapping.
Yeah.
Because people keep asking me, is he on a roster at football? I'm like, I really don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I ran into him about a month ago up at here in Frisco, Texas. His son is playing little league ball up at the same gym where my kid plays, and he looked good, man. I mean, he's big old, you know, big Rico. He hadn't like gained too much weight or anything. He looked good. I didn't get to talk to him very long, but he looked great. He was friendly as could be. He was excited. He had just watched the Baylor game on TV that day. He's keeping up with it too, I know. So. Ashley, what do you got?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you. I noticed. I just looked at your roster, and Bonzi Colson's on your team, Notre Dame. Yeah, and any other guys that we would recognize that played college ball in the States?
No. Last year, we had Jordan Davis. He was at UNC, I believe. But you also had Steve Basturi that went to Notre Dame, also.
Okay.
But no, this year just Bonzi Colson. Which is crazy because we were like, he was like, hey, I know you. He's like, he was at Baylor, but you know, and I was like, yeah, you was at Notre Dame, but he was bigger at Notre Dame. You know, he was the player of the year almost. So we, you know, it's crazy because the guys that, you know, you see in college, you meet up with them overseas or in the NBA, and it's like, man, I remember, like, you were the talk of the – we didn't want to, like, you know, we wanted to play against y'all, but we couldn't play against y'all. And then this argument, like, oh, we would have kicked y'all butt. No, y'all would have, you know, so we talk about that all the time, you know? Sure. So it's like, I let them know. I said, my senior year or my junior year, we would have killed y'all.
So in France and Germany, any vacation recommendations for Americans that want to visit? Like, is Strasbourg a cool place to visit, or where would you
go? Strasbourg is a decent place to visit. I will say I still haven't been to Paris with all the shutdown. I still haven't been to Paris, but like to go see the city.
Right.
But if you want to go shopping and stuff like that, go to Paris. They have that one boulevard that's amazing that we drove down. I don't know. I forgot the name, but it has all the stores you could think about.
Yeah.
The Eiffel Tower. Just things that you never really, you know, me as a kid, I never thought that I ever get to see.
Yeah.
But me personally, I want to go to Greece. I want to go to Santorini.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I want to go, you know, enjoy a vacation. With all this COVID, I don't know if I will. I'll probably just end up in Waco, Texas, which is no problem with me this summer, which that's the goal. I do plan on coming down to Waco for a couple of weeks.
Awesome.
I plan on having a basketball camp in Waco, Texas also.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I'm trying to work on that. That's the goal.
Let us know. Let us know before you do that. We'll promote that on our message boards for sure.
Oh yeah, we just started talking about it. Me and my uncle just started talking about it 2 weeks ago because that's something that I really want to do in Texas,
right?
Especially Waco. Waco's home to me. It's probably different now, but it's home to me, and so I want to do a lot of stuff in Waco, Texas. That's why I plan on going after I'm done with everything. Coach Drew might be bald by the time I get there. You know, I want to be right next to him, you know, assistant coach with him. So that's the goal.
Yeah. Well, they keep having all this success. Everyone's going to want to come hire these assistant coaches. So there may be some openings. So we'll see. Ish, man, we appreciate your time. And, you know, like I said, longtime fan favorite, Baylor. I know people always want to hear from you and want to keep up with what you're doing. And when you're having success, it makes a lot of people smile. So thanks for the time. And Ashley, you got anything else?
No.
Run go or?
No.
Okay.
Appreciate the time.
I got one more thing. Did y'all?
What do you got?
Did y'all get the Sailor Bill, the hoodie?
I want one.
I bought one. Yeah.
Did you got one?
Get one?
I don't know how to get one, but I think it's on the bookstore or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go get on there today and see if I can try to get one.
Yeah. I like those. Yeah. They were wearing some new shoes the other night too that looked really good. Some new green goals that look good. So
yeah, let me ask you about that real quick. Like the transition from Adidas to Nike, is that a big deal? Was that a big deal to you, or you like Nike a lot better?
Yes. Yes, because right now it's funny because right now I am on an Adidas team.
Right.
And I'm trying, like, I like the Donovan Mitchell shoes. And so I have like over 10 pair of Donovan Mitchell shoes.
Right.
And I don't mind because I'm older, you know, in my career, I like what fits in my feet. I'm a Nike guy. I've always been a Nike guy. But that transition from Adidas to Nike is a huge, I feel like we have the best uniforms.
Yeah.
On both, don't get me wrong, Adidas had amazing uniforms at Baylor.
Yeah.
But them Nike Vault uniforms, the gray ones that they have. Yeah,
they're tough.
And they need to bring them Vault uniforms back ASAP.
What's your go-to Nike shoes? I'm a big Kobe. I wear Kobe's when I play basketball. Is that what's your –
Right now, I have a pair of LeBrons that I've been wearing. But go-to Nike LeBrons right now, LeBrons. Yeah. Because I'm like a heavier type of guy.
Right.
So it's kind of LeBrons.
Yeah. More support. Yeah.
No, more support. Yeah. Right. But Adidas, Donovan Mitchell shoes. Yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Let's hope for some good times here in these next 2 weeks and get a Final Four, maybe a national title to Waco. So. All right, for Ashley Hodge and Ish Wainwright, I'm Jason King with Sikkim 365 and the Field of 68. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ish. Sikkim.
Sikkim Bears.